702.
Weekend Breakfast with Rufilwe Mpakanyane.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7 and 106 FM.
It's going on 9:37 on the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. We're spending the final 23 minutes of the program in the Literature Corner. And today I'm joined by author, media lawyer and founder of the Weekly Mail, David Dyson. We're talking his latest long-awaited sequel to A Death in the New Republic. It's called The Good Nigerian. Of course, he reintroduces Detective Jerome Nossel. And readers get to delight, I think, as I did, in having Johannesburg and having the city feature so strongly and in such a familiar way as a main character as well in this book. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, David Dyson. It really is a pleasure to have you on. Good morning.
Thanks so much, Rufilwe. Yes, it's kind of you, yeah. And that was exactly my intention, was to try and illustrate Joburg to people who live here or who don't live here, and just show what a great complex city it is.
Yes,
and we sort of run through this strange story.
It really, I just want to read the blurb so that everyone can get a sense of what the sequel is all about, and just introduce them to the main characters and, of course, the protagonist of Jerome Nossel. And we'll delve more into writing a city and writing it so compellingly. But here it goes. The book reintroduces Detective Jerome Nossel, and the book is about. Let me read the blurb. Nossel eased the Alpha through the Panhandle Drive, clicking on safety belts on orders from the beloved roadster. At the curb, he looked to the left and then right. The street lamps revealed nothing but the brightly lit fortress walls of the northern suburbs. He switched the lights to dim, called Levi, and told him the coast was clear. Then he drove up the hill towards Lubuerta Avenue, the artery of Nossel's Joburg, the stark century-old frontier line between the two great Joburg classes. On the one hand, the working class dormitory township of Alex, around which he was now driving, and on the other, the petite bourgeoisie within the old city precincts, which he had left behind. Jerome Nossel is back, outwitting hoodlums, solving mysteries from the old days, and trying to survive the new Joburg gangsters and power brokers. Ngozi Dowby's husband, Alex, an old friend of Nossel's, is being held by Yuri Kramarov, a brutal and brutalized Russian gangster kingpin. Nossel, sometimes shady, often clandestine, but a constant friend, has a penchant for justice and a long memory. We'll talk the protagonist and we'll talk Nossel specifically. But writing a city, David, and doing it so that it pops off the page, it lives off the page, for someone who may never have visited that specific place, really is, yeah. You'll tell me, is it not a daunting prospect? And what is your approach to writing it? Clearly, one can tell the love and the intimacy that you have with Johannesburg as the writer. Or perhaps Nossel as a protagonist.
Absolutely. This is a city which I've lived in for 60 years, and my great-grandfather was here in the 1890s. So we've got a very long and deep history here. But you're quite right, is that the city actually becomes a character in these kinds of crime novels, because what you have to do is you have to make the city a very real place. And this is how I grew up, reading detective novels myself, and realizing that actually this kind of genre lends itself towards putting the city in as the main character, in a sense.
Yeah.
And as these other characters traverse the city, you move. What my intention was to do was to go to key intersection points in the city. You know, just the kind of confluence that you've just described, the top of Corlett Drive at the intersection with Louis Botha Avenue on the edge of Alex, moving towards town. Then, you know, another intersection point in Hillbrow, Dornfontein, another intersection point in Old Town, and then into Sandton through the highways. Encountering the complexity of the city, which consists of so many different classes of people, but which somehow retains a holistic kind of character to this day, even though it's somewhat tattered.
And of course, what you do with the Nossel, the Jerome Nossel sequel, is highlight the very strong ties between as Jerome describes them, the petite bourgeoisie within the old city precincts. But you know, the underbelly of the city, right? The fact that there are strong links. These aren't worlds that exist apart and untainted or untouched and influenced by each other.
Yeah.
Give me a sense of the kind of research and the kind of reading that you did around, you know, writing or planning the plot and the story for this sequel.
Yeah, well, you know, the theme is looking at immigrant populations that do live in the city and have lived in the city for a long time. So the research focused on looking at migrant workers, immigrants, from all over the world and from Africa. So I had to obviously continue the research that I've always done in regard to local migrant populations. And my love for Lesotho comes through because it is one of my favorite places in the world.
Yes.
And the city is full of Basotho migrants and people who come here traditionally to mine gold, but now to do any kind of task that they can earn money with. Mm-hmm. And I focus once again, as I did in the previous novel, on waste collectors who push these large skips through the city, collecting recyclable garbage. And taking it into depots in Fordsburg. So I did quite a bit of research on that.
Yeah.
And managed to persuade one of these waste carriers to try and let me pull his skip, which I realized. I then realized how weak I was in comparison to these fit young men from Lesotho, yeah. who drag these very much sort of, and looking at the throwback 100 years ago when they would have been pulling skips in the stopes of the mine.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of an analogy.
And I'm chuckling because, of course, there is a waste collector who is featured in your book, and he's quite the hero in his, you know, own sort of understated way. And you do allude to the fact that this is backbreaking work, literally, the kind of work that needs to be acknowledged as well. What I'm curious about, David,
the,
is
the other research I did. Sorry, just to interrupt.
But no worries.
Was also, I did a lot of reading on Port Harcourt, southern Nigeria, because the protagonist comes from that city. She's a person who's been trafficked into South Africa through Lusaka in the late 80s, early 90s. And she ends up as a sex slave in this Johannesburg mythical brothel that I create in Dornfontein. Mm. So, you know, I had to do quite a lot of research on that. And then the third piece of research was on the gangster Yuri Kramarov, who I had to do some research into Russian emigres who crossed first to Israel in the 70s and then came into Africa and the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I imagine as I was reading the book, I was struck by exactly that, the confluence of so many elements, right? It's the past speaking to the future. It's the struggle against apartheid and the struggle for democracy and freedom comes into play. You shining a spotlight on these power brokers that are mentioned in the blurb are not just businessmen or gangsters, but it's also politicians with sleazy or shady pasts, and it's freedom fighters as well with sleazy and shady pasts and prisons. And there's, as you say, you mentioned the fact that one of the protagonists, Ngozi Dalby, has been trafficked from Nigeria, from Port Harcourt. And so you also trace a line or, you know, a theme of the things that also happened during the struggle, and the fact that the struggle wasn't clean, and it wasn't this whole big saintly mission. It's, you know, it was populated and held up by human beings, and human beings do what they do. They're noble, they're brutal, they're violent, they're criminal as well. So much.
it was a very specific liberation war, and it required people who were able to do these kinds of underground things that were terribly illegal in an ordinary peaceful context. But there was a war here, and it was a long war, and it lasted. The exiles already left the country in the late 50s, early 60s. So there was a long tradition of an external war, and there were incredible stories that emerged from that. For that, I didn't really have to do physical research, because I operated as a defense lawyer for a lot of people who had been in exile over the last 20 or 30 years. So I knew those stories. Mm. So those stories do sort of find themselves in this novel.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, the main aim, as you say, was to try and acquaint people with Joburg, Jersey, and with its greatness and its depth and its height.
Mm. Let's talk about exactly that, being familiar with stories of, you know, every shade of every kind of texture, good and bad, and, you know, tying it to a specific location, a specific place, which is Johannesburg. And I really do wonder how you then write a protagonist, and perhaps you'll let me know if you agree with, you know, this book being attributed or being described as noir. Yes, it's crime fiction, but maybe noir as well, because there's no sense of real. There is, I guess we'd say Nossel is a good guy. Jerome Nossel, the protagonist, is a good guy. But as, you know, as the blurb reads, he is sometimes shady, often clandestine, but he's a constant friend.
No,
so he's on a noble mission, but, you know, the tools and the things that he gets up to and how he does them, sure, the line between good and bad, or right or wrong, or, you know, what's above board, very, very blurred, if they even exist.
you put your finger on it. I mean, it is noir fiction, and Nossel is a... sees it through that kind of lens. There's a kind of dark comedy involved, and the city lends itself to that form of genre. So in sort of structuring it, these Nossel novels, and I'm busy with a third, is that you have to establish that kind of allegorical noir space, which kind of is hyper real. I mean, the lines are exaggerated, you know, so the kind of sense of each place and each kind of interaction is highly sort of stylized, as you say, in this allegorical noir fashion. And then what you have to do is build these characters, which is obviously character development and building a character bible for this kind of script is really the key issue. Once you've set the tone and the form of it and the place, you've got to make these characters real, and that's what I hope I've been able to achieve with The Good Nigerian, because they are constructed characters. But obviously they're bits and pieces of all kinds of people in them.
Yeah. One character whose dialogue I found quite compelling and hilarious at times, I struggled to pick out a piece of dialogue where Yuri Kremerov, the Russian gangster, isn't dropping F-bombs all over the place. So trying to find a decent patch of dialogue where you get a full sense of how Yuri speaks, I struggled. I might have just failed. The passages I found were very boring, like, Ahmed, you bring a platter from the delicatessen for the two of us, that kind of thing. But what I want to say about the dialogue is that you read it and you know this guy. You might have encountered him on, Grand Avenue in Norwood or somewhere in Bedford View, and the cadences and even the slang, very specific to each character and where they grew up or how they grew up, was incredibly, incredibly just fun and really entertaining. And getting that right, I mean, who do you go to? Go ahead.
Yeah, the Yuri character, you're spot on. You're a detective yourself, Rafil. The Yuri character was based on a friend of mine from Grand Avenue.
Oh, okay.
So,
I love it.
Obviously he's a lovely guy, and he's not a gangster who runs a brothel in Dornfontein, but. I couldn't make Yuri up completely, and he was based on a very real person who lived in Joburg for many years and who was a Russian emigrant.
Who do you go to, or how do you sort of cross reference and check that the slang that you're utilizing, or the sort of vernacular that you're utilizing for specific characters, is actually correct for the age and the time? Because what I've noticed with a lot of sort of not just writing, but even movies, it'll be a period piece or set in the 80s or late 70s, and there'll be specific references where you just pick up on things like, yeah, that kind of technology didn't exist, or that wasn't a thing at the time. Little innocuous things, but somehow they stick out and you think, oh, guys, come on. But with your own process of making sure that it's not just, the language, but the slang that's appropriate to the time and the place.
No, your character Bible does it all, because if you have to keep referring back to the character Bible, and you have to keep thinking and examining whether when he picks up a baseball bat, whether that would be appropriate in that particular sense in that space, and each action or thought of those characters has to comply with the overall character. Otherwise, you fail in getting the character accurate. So I find that's the most difficult thing in writing these novels, is that you have to get that accurate.
Yeah. No, it's exceedingly enjoyable. It really is just such a treat to read. Now, David,
thank you so much. I mean, I'm really chuffed, because you've really illustrated that what the value is of these kinds of books, that anybody from anywhere in the world can pick up this book, I believe, and get a sense of Joburg. I mean, it's a highly stylized and allegorical sense, but you get a feeling of the place, and that's what I wanted to try and impart.
Well, what you also managed to do in all of this, so it's a bit of a history, historical text and document, and there's also some social commentary going on. There is, a look at the underbelly of society, at simple, decent human beings. There are these protagonists that you struggle with your relationship with them. You support them, you're there, you're in the ride, and you're here for the long haul with them. But you're like, if I knew this person in real life, I wonder. And another sector or another industry that goes unscathed or doesn't go unscathed in this book, are these charismatic churches, as we see in another gangster-turned businessman, Godfrey, as he is retrieving his cartridges from a warehouse. And we see that this warehouse is surrounded by mega churches of all kinds, but used for rather unsavory ends.
Yeah, no, that part of Alexandria is not well known to people because it's through the back entrance, through the total garage further north. And it is populated by churches that do overlook the scrapyards. And so that's a very vivid part of Alex, because you're on the northern edge of Alex. From that section, you can actually see the whole township in all its grime, and but it's very vibrant. And at the top of at that particular part where I travelled and did some extensive research, there are warehouses and there are Zimbabwean churches, overlooking this vista. So it's an incredible location for the denouement of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. But of course, ultimately, a story about a friendship, about dedication, and about keeping one's word despite the kind of world that you live in. It really, really is fantastic. Thank you so much.
It's really about friendship and what friends owe each other in terms of loyalty and what not to betray.
Yeah.
And Nossel struggles because and his friend Alex has done some terrible things, and he still has to fight for him. Mm-hmm. And this is what a legal person, whether it's a lawyer, or a policeman, or a detective, has to do in Joburg. You have to grit your teeth because the characters who get themselves into real trouble are often very complex, But in the next book, what I'm hoping to do is look more carefully at Alex, the filmmaker from Europe and China, ex-South African, and look at his journeys as well.
Well, we await the next one in anticipation, but in the interim, or in the meanwhile, thanks so much for this fantastic read. It's fun, it's compelling, and it'll make you see your city or Johannesburg afresh. Such an incredibly well done job. David Dyson is an author, media lawyer, and co-founder of The Weekly Mail. And of course, his latest book is called The Good Nigerian. Thank you for your time this morning.